Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Thursday, January 23rd, and it's the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we are on page 84, the third paragraph down, and we have ceased fighting anything or anyone and anyone. When we'll be reading that one paragraph, packed paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Dawn B, the 12 Traditions, Laura R, and the readers of the text are Dion R, Leslie M, and Robin P. The share ID for Wednesday, January 22nd, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 14,013, that's 14013. And for this morning's meeting, Thursday, January 9th at 7 a.m. is 14,016. And the newcomer greeter is Penny C. So if you're a newcomer, stay on the line after we stop the recording. And announcements is Robin P. Away preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Dawn B. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Dawn.
Good morning. This is Dawn B. from Southern California. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me serve, and I pass.
And thank you, Dawn B. And I will now ask Laura R. to read the 12 traditions.
Thanks, Mo. This is Laura R., grateful compulsive overeater out in Colorado. These are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks, Mo, and I pass.
Yes, thank you, Laura R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinent requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone again. And that's the star 1 button and not the mute button on your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page, 84, the third paragraph, starting with, and we have ceased fighting anything and anyone. And I will now ask Dion R. to get us started.
Hi, and good morning, Mo, and everyone on the line today. My name is Dion R., recovered compulsive overeater from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. We have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol, for by this time sanity will have returned. We will seldom be interested in liquor if tempted. We recoil from it like a hot flame. We react sanely and normally, and we will find that this happened automatically. We will see that our new attitude toward liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. It just comes. That is the miracle of it. We are not fighting, neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we have been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We have not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. We are neither cocky nor are we afraid. This is our experience. This is how we react. So long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. Ooh. Oh, my goodness. This has to be God, because I want to thank you guys for allowing me to be of service. And when I heard there were hidden promises, in my mind, promises meant page 83, if we're painstakingly, you know what I mean? It was just like, oh, okay. These are, you know, I thought that's what I was reading. I really did. I forgot about the step 10 promises, which are very prevalent in my life, and I have to be reminded of it. I had to be reminded of the promises by staying in fixed spiritual condition that they will come alive for me and they'll show up. Quick example, I just found out my little 6-year-old, I call her the mini healthy Dion. if I was healthy here, at 6-year-old. But anyway, she has so many of my qualities, healthy qualities, and I love it. And her parents are very great parents, but they wouldn't treat her, getting her, you know, she had a little broken ankle, leg or whatever, And I'm just in tears now. It's like, oh, my God, the young people break their ankles and whatever. And it's just like, how? You know, it's like they was having fun in a bouncy house on Martin Luther King Day. And it's like, I thought she should have been taken care of instantly, you know, at the hospital. But anyhow, but God, you know, and what I did to get out of me and try to judge in and my sponsor, I love her so much. This staying spiritually fit is working with another and reminding me that I'm not on this journey alone, that I can talk to people, that I can get out of myself. And God does work it out every time that I get out of myself and realizing the emotional trauma I'm going through moving. I just had an emergency surgery last week on my foot. You know, a lot of stress and then smoking, health issues, a lot of things that's affecting my health. So it's like, oh, my God, yeah, that's right, I'm not a robot. So just to be able to allow myself to have a tearful moment this morning before the meeting, oh, my God, that was so wonderful. And then I'm thinking like, well, we're painstaking. No, this is awesome. You know, this is being reminded. We have to be fighting. You know, I don't have to fight and try to get Dion's way. Lord, help me. How can I use this situation to better help everyone around? Like someone said earlier in a meeting I went to this week, a lot of meetings I've been going to face-to-face. Then it was like, do no harm. My main thing is to do no harm. You know what I mean? That's what I'm here for, to carry the message of recovery and do no harm, not only to others, but to myself. And that means allow myself to feel if I get a tearful moment, you know, laugh if I get a laughful moment, you know, but right now staying in the moment and honoring that. And I hope you guys got some out of it. That's where I'm at today. I'm on my way out to help. God got me helping a neighbor. So it's getting me out of me. And I don't have to worry about what is the surgery going okay at the hospital right now. You know what I mean? So appreciate all your prayers and your support. And as I continue to travel this dubious path, thank you guys for allowing me to share.
Well, and thank you, Dion, for getting us started. And just to remind everybody where we're at, we're on page 84, the third paragraph, and we have ceased fighting anything and anyone. That one paragraph only. Who would like to share?
Suzanne in California.
Melon.
Suzanne.
Irene.
CDH.
Irene.
Melanie. CDH.
Melanie. Who was that other person?
Cindy H.
Cindy H.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Julie E.B.
Julie, got you, Julie.
Laura R.
Laura R.
Natalie
okay.
G.
Okay, our Pamela R. put you down as the first one on the next round, okay?
Thank you.
All right, I got Suzanne. I didn't get your last initial. You can give it to me. Irene B., Melanie C., Cindy H., Julie E. B., and Laura R. Suzanne, get us started.
Hi, thank you. It's Suzanne B.
Thank you.
So when I first came into the program for the first 6 years, I read this paragraph, and I read it as my mission statement for what I wanted, what my vision was. And in God's time, the most important piece of it for me when I first came in was to not be fighting with food. And today I can say that I absolutely do not fight with food. I'm much more interested in living the promises of a really fulfilling life, and that's what I have. So thank you very much for letting me share.
And thank you, Suzanne B. Irene B., followed by Melanie C. Good morning, Irene. Press star 1, Irene. We can't hear you.
I'm so sorry. So sorry, I'm here.
Gotcha. I hear you now.
Okay, thank you. Okay, awesome. Good morning. This is Irene B. I'm very, very thankful, abstinent, recovering, bulimic, with a good deal of recovery under my belt. I am so thankful. this paragraph really speaks to me. I love the part that we will have neutrality with the food. And, you know, I have no desire to binge and purge because it terrifies me. But the fact that I'm terrified to binge and purge makes me wonder, am I recovered? I mean, what is neutrality with the food? Being terrified of the food is not neutrality. And I don't obsess about it, but it's for a split second. The thought of, oh, I would like to try that food goes through my brain because something looks amazing. My immediate response is I recall it as if from a hot flame because it scares me that the allergy of the body is going to be triggered. And I'm thankful for that knowledge because in the previous treatment centers, they told me that I could have everything in moderation. That is such a lie, and that's why I could never recover because I kept triggering my body. But now I know not to do that. But I would love to have the neutrality to the point that the thought of eating something unhealthy, I don't care how good it looks, didn't cross my mind even for the split second. And perhaps I'm greedy. I am so greedy. That's one of my greatest character defects. And I have greed with regard to everything, including recovery. And my greed tells me, even if a thought comes to me for a split second, I don't want to have that. So all I know to do is to continue to reach out to my God, to stay connected to my God, because he is the only one who gives me clarity. Because when I am on self-reliance, I lose the clarity. And I try really hard to be very vigilant with the food. So by the grace of God, I have clarity with the fact that food is dangerous. Okay, I get it. Food is dangerous. The alcoholic foods, that is. So I'm grateful for that knowledge. But there's a part of me that wonders, do I have neutrality of the food? And I would say that I do, maybe, because what I have is a great deal of fear and respect for the alcoholic foods that could trigger me back into the abyss of bulimia, and I can't do that. It took me 40 years to get out of this curse.
Time.
So I just can't risk it. Thank you so much. I pass.
Thank you, Irene B. Melanie C., followed by Cindy H. Good morning, Melanie.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Good morning, Mo. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm in Oregon. I had to kind of chuckle about the first line here. We had ceased fighting anything or anyone. That came later for me, but when they go into now just speaking about the relationship and the effect of food, the way that it used to have on me, I can tell you for sure it was a stunning, stunning, disbelieving thing when I realized that there was complete neutrality around that. They continue now to talk about that in relationship to food in these last few pages here. I came into the end of Melanie, the fall of 2005, and I took my first last compulsive bite of my food allergens on November 5th, 2005. That was just the beginning of the high holy days of binging and overeating for amateurs, is what I like to kind of chuckle at about that particular thing. And I had no desire to join in on that. Had no desire. That was something my mind could not get itself around, because at that particular point, I was just shy of being 50 years old. I had driven my life into the ground, the wreckage that it was. I could not see how come it was not going someplace, and I could not live without food. I could not live without food. I could not see that there was space between whatever it was that I was experiencing and the need to be absolutely blotto blacked out from whatever it was I was experiencing and the decision to not do that anymore. And there was. And when that happened, at that fateful day when I got that phone call from my brother who has called me from jail to tell me, asked me to come and get him out, and I knew that my life was over. something had to change and something had to give. And from that particular point, immediately when I got help, something shifted and was different for me. And I can tell you that it happens all throughout my life now. It isn't even a part of my conversation, except for when I'm in these rooms and we share about where it was and what it was like until what I'm doing now, that my first thought never goes to that anymore. It just doesn't. And it was not possible up until that point. There was not a piece of anything that was safe around me. The kids wouldn't even leave their food in front of me. They would say, no, don't give it to her. Don't put it around where she's at, because they knew, bless their hearts, at a very young age, it was not going to be safe with me. To go from that to having it all over in my house, any place, every place, because I have kids and I have people that come and go throughout my house. It's everywhere. I put my hands in it. I plan for it. And it has no effect on me. I can't explain that, except there's a power greater than me that's running my life, and forever I will be grateful. Pass.
Thank you, Melanie C. Cindy H., followed by Julie E. B. Good morning, Cindy.
Good morning. I was having a little bit of trouble with my phone there. I'm sorry. Thank you for your service, Mo. I'm Cindy H., recovering compulsive overeater in Kansas City. And I came to OA in September kicking and screaming. I was like, I don't want to do this. I can't. I'm too scared. I don't believe that. I like my life the way it is, whatever excuses that I made. And I'm just now seeing, as we read this paragraph, that this is what's happening to me as I work the steps. I didn't even realize that it had come because I'm not fighting so much, and I spent all my life fighting. And I would get so tired, and I would just consider giving up, but I knew I couldn't. And the miracle is that I used to be so afraid to admit that I was wrong about something, because then that would make me an unacceptable person. And just recently I was exercising with a friend, and she said she heard resentment in my voice as I was talking about an issue I was having. And I was just, my first reaction was, darn, she's right. And I need to take that to my higher power and ask him to remove it. And it's still like trying to come back, but each time it comes back, I'm like, God, please remove this from me. And then I'm not even thinking about food. I'm thinking about staying connected to my higher power, about, staying in that fit spiritual condition. And it is miraculous. It's something that even just a few months ago, I would have told you was impossible for me. You know, I was the one binge eater in the history of addiction that couldn't recover. But I appreciate these promises, and I appreciate how they kind of even just snuck into my life without me even realizing it. And I live a much more sane and normal life. I don't get so angry I could just hit something, because I'm dealing with my resentments day by day, moment by moment, every time they come up. And then God is changing me into a more sane and normal person. And I took my last compulsive bite last Thursday morning. So the entire abstinence is still new to me. I did have 55 days in and then relapsed. But I'm learning from each mistake I make, and from every time that I go to a meeting, every time I talk to somebody. And this is just an amazing program, and it's doing so much more for me than I ever thought it could. And I'm incredibly grateful. So with that, I pass.
Thank you, Cindy H. Julie E. B., followed by Laura R. Good morning, Julie.
Hi, this is Julie E. B., gratefully recovered today in Colorado Springs. And I cease fighting anyone and anything. I, too, took me a while for that promise to come true. It took me a while to have food neutrality. I started with a basic abstinence. Some of you know I started, you know, in this program 300 pounds, desperate and dying, six medical specialists, 42 years old, and really in danger of stroke and death, and unable to move without just screaming in pain periodically. And God did for me what I couldn't do for myself. And when I met my vision sponsor, we started with a basic abstinence and the things that I knew. And then we just started reading that book. And I just became more and more willing to put down food because my higher power would come in when I would be disturbed, when I was fighting something, anything or anyone. You know, when I'm in resentment, I'm sore. I'm fighting something or someone in my past. And when I'm in fear, I'm fighting something or someone in my future. And when I'm in guilt, again, I'm living in the past. So by working this program, I came to understand that my powerlessness is my greatest gift today. I've been kind of in a funky mood and just, you know, committed yesterday to just release five different 10 steps and just really cleared some cobwebs out and just really felt that freedom where my higher power says, hey, you are powerless over yourself, about other people, places, things, situations. Your life is unmanageable, but that's an okay place to be because I'm right here with you and you can trust me and I will keep you safe and protected. So today my abstinence, my boring food, my food gets quieter and quieter. And when something kicks up and I think, oh, this should be different, then I know I'm fighting it. So I fought for the right today to have some bad days, some hard days, and to feel those feelings. And I'm grateful for that. And so if you are having trouble getting started, you know, just reach out. Just keep reaching out and taking that step up the down escalator. And I thank you for letting me share a pass.
Thank you, Julie E.B. And before we go to Laura R., I'll let everybody know where we're at. We're on page 84, the third paragraph, starting with, and we have ceased fighting anything or anyone. And Laura R. and then Pamela R. will be the first one on the next lineup, and I'll take some more names. Laura.
Thanks, Mo.
Good morning.
This is Laura. Great. Oh, excuse me. Good morning. This is Laura R. out in Colorado, grateful, compulsive overeater. Oh, man, so much juicy stuff in this paragraph, for starters, as we've all been reading, as and we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol. But what I love is it just comes. That's the miracle of it. You know, I don't have to fight for my recovery anymore. But for me, you know, I hear someone else say they're a broken record about surrender. I need to be a broken record about abstinence. Like, nothing can happen. I mean, a little movement can happen, but if I'm in the food at any point at all, I'm missing total freedom. And I don't know. I'm so grateful. A lot of people, we all have like different gifts. And I think one of the things that God gave me is faith that it could be better. because, you know, through the 16 years of recovery, my recovery journey, starting with alcohol and drug addiction, I just knew like at 5 years or 2 years or 1 year, I bought in and I'm like, no way, this just can't be it. Because I just had too much blocking me. I couldn't even, you know, even doing the steps multiple times, like I had too much blocking me. And I'm like, wait a minute, no, like it says all these miracles and I feel some of them, but it just can't be just like this because I was still yelling at my husband or I was still yelling at my friends or I was still feeling funky or resentment. And even if I was doing inventory, nothing would really move or I don't know, like my normal MO would just be, I still fought a lot and I still struggled a lot. And so I'm just so grateful. I had a sponsor always telling me, like, it's just going to come, Laura. You know, just allow God to do it to you. And so it's so funny, though, you know, once for me, and again, I'm a broken record, like, I had to put, my last thing was coffee, and you're not going to pry my little sticky fingers off my coffee cup. Like, it freaked me out. I was so scared, as someone else was saying, like, this was so scary. I'm like, no way. And, man, God, like, thank you, because all I wanted was to be a good mom, you know, and a good wife. And the reason why I really couldn't, and I was okay, But, you know, I'm a rager in the disease. Like, unfortunately, that's, I learned it from an early age, and because that's what was in my home. And so that's what I did. I didn't want to yell at my little five-year-old. I didn't want to yell at my husband. I couldn't stop. I was fighting it. Like, okay, God, you know. Coffee went down. I did the work. And are you kidding me? It just comes. That's the miracle of it. I've been pretty neutral with food over a couple years now, but no, like I'm not neutral with the way I acted and the people around me. And it says in the sex inventory part, it's like we, our conduct continues to harm others. We're going to drink. And my conduct continues to hurt people. And I will tell you now, like, I'm not, God just changed me. Like the way I'm interacting with my husband over the past couple months and my kiddo, unbelievable. I show up today because I'm not just sitting in my disease wanting to drink more coffee and like limit my life and sit in a little box. Thank you, Mo. I'll just wrap up with this, that I just now I get to be a part of, be in the world. Like if there's anything that you're unwilling to let go of it. Like another individual said, like who cares about the food? I want freedom from fighting the people in this world and fighting life. And with that, I'll pass things.
Well, thank you, Laura R. And I will now open the lines up for more to share. I have Pamela R.B. as number one.
Dorita P.
Natalie
Dorita
G.
Natalie
Dez
G.
Dez M.
Dez M.
Patty T.
Patty T.
Ricky M.
Tammy
Ricky
M.
M. That's it. That's all I can take. Sorry, I might not even get to you, Ricky. I have Pamela R.B., Dorita P., I think it is, Natalie M., I think, Des M., Patty T., Ricky M. All right, Pamela, you go first, followed by Dorita P.
Good morning, visionaries, and thank you so much, Mo. Pamela R.B. here from Detroit, Michigan. Wow, what an amazing weekend we had, Mo. Whoa.
Yeah, my goodness.
Oh, that was so great. It was just like getting another booster. It's taken me to another level in my recovery today. But back to the passage, and we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol. Oh, I love a good fight. Bring it on, you know. That was, to me, ultimately, I fought when I couldn't. Well, I tell you what, fighting to me was also another addiction because it got the adrenaline flowing. And when the adrenaline got flowing, I felt, you know, that rush, that high. And that high, in order to come down, I had to eat. So I recognize today that that is an area today that I pay a lot of attention to. I don't go there. You know, I ask myself one important question. How important is it? Do I need to go there with you? And now that I'm older now and have a few years of abstinence up under my belt, you know, it just isn't, it isn't practical for me today, you know. It isn't practical that I have to be responding to everything that comes my way, you know, because I have a new attitude toward food. You know, I'm a world traveler, and one of the things I'm able to do today is that I can go to any country now, and I don't have to eat my way through that country. You know, that food is neutral for me. And I can go like, oh, okay, never had that. But it doesn't matter. What I know today is that once I ingest those things, I know exactly what happens. All bets are off, and I will not enjoy, you know, the place that I went to visit. So I know that it's not an option for me. You know, and how do I stay there? It says, you know, I know today that I'm safe and I'm protected. You know, I was sharing that with another member the other day, and they said, how are you? I said, you know, I'm safe and protected today. I feel as though my higher power has a hedge around me. And as long as I stay in fit spiritual condition, I don't have to worry about it. Even if I look at it and my hand goes toward it or my attitude goes toward a particular thing that I used to do, I recoil. And I say, oops, you don't do that anymore. And I'm so grateful to be in present awareness today, because that's what this program, that's what this says to me, you know, that I am living in the moment. I am living in the present. I have an awareness of how this disease shows up, but even more than that, how my higher power shows up for me today. So I love the fact that the solution is spiritual in nature, and as long as I'm on that spiritual beam, I have neutrality around the food. So thank you all so much for allowing me to share.
Perfect.
And have a great day. Bye.
Well, thank you, Pamela R.B. Thank you. Dorita P., followed by Natalie. Dorita.
Thank you, Mo. Hi. Oh, thank you, Mo. Hi, my name is Dorita P. from Cleveland. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And these are my favorite promises. I hear there's promises in all the steps, and there's one, you know, that loneliness will vanish and we'll have friends galore. But this, and we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol. For by this time, sanity will have returned. We will seldom be interested in liquor. If tempted, we recoil from it as from a hot flame. We react sanely and normally, and we will find that this has happened automatically. We will see that our new attitude toward liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. That is the miracle of it. We are not fighting it, neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we have been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We have not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. We are neither cocky nor are we afraid. That is our experience. That is how we react, so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. And, you know, that is how we react, so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. And that just tells me that that's what I have to focus on, or that's what I have to work on, is my spiritual condition. And this is so true. All of these things have come true for me. You know, I try to talk about these promises and other promises every opportunity I get, because people focus on the ninth step promises that were read, I guess, a few days ago. You know, and people think those are all the promises. But there's, I think somebody went and counted all the promises in the big book. I don't remember what the number was, but there's a lot of, many, many promises throughout this book. And I'm just so grateful, you know, for the promises, because it just tells me, or makes me feel that it's just well worth it, well worth all the effort. And so with that, I'll pass. I'll give other people an opportunity to share. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Dorita P. Natalie, I don't have your first initial of your last name, followed by Des M. Good morning, Natalie.
Good morning, Mo. This is Natalie G., and I'm from Ojai, California, recovered compulsive overeater. And these are actually my favorite promises. And I had to laugh as I'm looking at them, because I remember a couple years ago doing a process where I would read these in the morning, and it was almost like a mantra. Like, I was trying to make the promises come true. I've been in the program since 2010, and I had what I thought was abstinence, and I kept that for 9 years. But then in November of 2019, I was listening to Ruth's podcast on entire abstinence and realized I hadn't been. And as was shared previously, holy effing cow, to get entirely abstinent is like a friggin' miracle. And then these promises just happened. They just happened. I mean, I work for them because I do my 10, 11, and 12, that's what it says at the end of the paragraph. But I mean, the food obsession, I went back and forth for years with my sponsor about sugar. That's what I was trying to hang on to, and a couple of other things. I thought I was doing okay, but I was just fighting that thing. Oh, I'm not going to have this. Oh, I'm going to have this. No, I'm going to have it in this form. Just like all they talk about in the page in the big book where they talk about the different forms of how we try to have our alcohol. It's like, I did that for years, and I would read these promises, and I'd be like, yes, come on. And the difference between that experience of these promises and what I experience now is night and day. Someone used the word stunning earlier. That's it, exactly. It's stunning. And I don't even fight the food that's not on my abstinence list. which I did before. I'd be like, oh, I had that. I wasn't sure I was supposed to. I was always so in doubt about my food. I don't do that anymore. I don't want the foods that I know are alcoholic that are going to trigger the allergy of my body. And I don't worry about the other foods that I can have because they're not going to do that to me. And it is like having a hedge around me. It is like being protected. I certainly don't do it. I couldn't do it. And I'm so grateful for all you guys in this program. And it's because of a vision for you that I even got an entire abstinence. So whoever started this, thank you so much. And thank you, everyone. With that, I pass.
And thank you, Natalie G. Des M., followed by Patty T. Good morning, Des.
Hi, Mo. Good morning. This is Des M., compulsive overeater from Southern California. And it's such a gift to be able to have hugged Mo and now be on the line with her. I hope that if you're able to go to a conference, you do, because it's such a beautiful thing to now have photographs in my conference of people, not just voices, but... Anywho, the paragraph, I knew that I wanted to jump on the line this morning after yesterday's meeting because this is one of my favorite parts of the big book as well. And what's coming up for me with this paragraph is that the fifth step promises, actually. So after we do the fourth step, the fifth step promises talk about being able to look another fellow in the eye, look people in the eye, look the world in the eye. And with the 10th step promises, the cease fighting anything or anyone, like that's all I wanted my whole life. Like I didn't want to gain 100 pounds from eating Little Debbie's. I didn't want to restrict my food or I never wanted to not understand unconditional love and seek love in all these wrong places. I just wanted to cease fighting everything, you know, and be safe and protected by a higher power. And today I have that gift. On a daily basis, if I'm spiritually fit. And for me, step 10 has definitely been like a fundamental part of my program this past year. And just working those step 10s and working the step 10 with people I don't know, being on this 10-step train, like I am able to look the world in the eye today and cease fighting just for today. And I had an experience that I'll share just because it was really humbling at the OA birthday party. I was so excited. I got to hug a sponsee for the first time. I sponsor her over the phone, and it was just beautiful and meet all these people. And I had so much energy, and I've been challenged with sleep patterns lately. And I hit a wall the second day. And I got to come home because I live about an hour away from LA, and a fellow got to take me home. I was staying in the hotel, and it was just really humbling in a way for my higher power to show up and love me, because today what I fight are my emotions. I fight with God to be in the present. I fight anytime I'm fighting the present and I'm planning the future, I'm not in the 10 step promises, but I always can use a 10 step inventory to get me back there. So with that, I pass, and I'm really grateful to everyone who's on the line today. So thanks so much, Mo. Have a great day, everyone.
Yeah. Thank you, Des. Patty T, followed by Ricky M.
Hi, good morning. This is Patty T, recovering from Southern California. Thank you, Mo, and thank you, everybody, for all these amazing shares. You know, yesterday in our reading, we read a line, we have entered the world of the spirit. And I wrote that down. It was really big. And I still have to do writing about it. But then I think my understanding of it was answered in this paragraph. That we've ceased fighting, that all of these things come to us because we are now in the world of the spirit. I know that for me that's true, that sanity has returned. You know, when I look back at myself like 3 years ago, I was a maniac. I was raging up and down the halls of my workplace, incredible expletives shouted, not muttered. And the fact that they even kept me on staff was a miracle. And it was all because of my addiction to the food. It was all because I was in the food. It was all because I was trying to control everything. It was all because, you know, nobody was doing as I thought they should. And I was fighting everything and everyone, including the food. And, you know, when I look at the last year and, you know, whatever it is, 10 months or 9 months, I am just amazed because it's true. It does. It just comes. It is a miracle, and it's not magic. You know, I've had a lot of magical thinking in my life, but miracle is something real. It's like real. It's based in reality, and it's based in spirit, and it's based in belief and in faith. And that's where I'm at today, and I am so grateful that that's me just for today, if I only have that just for today. And I thank all of you, and I'll pass. Thanks.
Well, thank you, Patty T. And Ricky M., you'll take us out. Good morning, Ricky.
Hi, this is Ricky M. from Philadelphia. Wow, I am really emotional right now. I hope it comes out. My message comes out. I'm actually, it's amazing that I'm in this process right now where we're reading it in the meeting. I'm up to 10, just getting into 11. And I'm really shaking because I'm really experiencing the promise as we are living it, as I'm doing the work, and I'm blown away because as many of you have heard me over the time, I was really struggling, really white-knuckling, and I held on because I wanted the promises. My life was dysfunctional. I couldn't function. I was overweight, but I didn't care. I cared that I wanted to live. I wanted to take care of my children, feed them, and I couldn't because I was just binging, and I wasn't dealing with a lot of the emotional issues that were coming up because I was eating. So coming in and getting abstinent was awesome because then I had clarity to deal with what I needed to deal with. But then I didn't have a solution when stresses come up or when things were good and calm. I didn't have a program. So starting to work the steps now was hard work. It was painful. It was soul searching, and so many things were revealed to me. And then finally, I'm up here today with my abstinence, which is gift. I can't even begin to tell you. And then to get finally getting that, the promises that they promise. Just to share with you, like, I'm really blown away. I was struggling. Somebody called me up out of the goodness of their heart. They called, did some outreach, and somehow it triggered me, my insecurities, my fear. I just was totally blown off, and I decided, you know, my self-will, why do they have to call? Who do they think they are? And I was, all the things kept on coming up. I did a 10-step on it, prayed about it, but I was still holding on to something. And somehow, you know, I started meditating and praying, and when I was doing the meditation, it says, selfishly ask God to help you for other people, not about yourself. And I was like, oh, so it's not about me controlling what other people do for me. How can I be of service? If this is person's triggering me, what can I do? Let me pray for that person. And I did. And I reached out and I prayed for them, and it just got lifted. And all of a sudden now I reached out to that person, and I feel warmth and love for the person who just the other day triggered me and made me feel insecure. That for me is a miracle. I stop fighting, and then the joy comes. It doesn't make sense to me. It's what it promised, and it's getting fulfilled. I don't like, I stop making sense of things. The things around me start working out, and nothing makes sense. So I stop worrying about making sense, letting my higher power do his miracles. When I stop letting go, I stop holding on so tight. Time. I stop fighting. Thank you. With that, I'll pass. Thank you so much for letting me share.
And thank you, Ricky M. And I want to thank Team Thursday for their service and all those who shared this great meeting. And we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will now ask Leslie M. to read a vision for you.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service. My name is Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.